we want to be a voice in this generation. Just as the Lord said, the world is getting darker, it's not getting any lighter, but thank God the light in the house of God is getting brighter. Amen. When there is a meeting between the darkness and the light, who wins?
The light.
The light wins. You come into a very dark room with a light in a box and you open the light. What happened? Darkness does invade. The light invades. Amen. God has called us to his light. Amen. Jesus was the light. And the darkness could not comprehend it or overcome it. Amen. God called us to the light. Let that light of God in us, let it shine. Amen. Amen. I think we got to pray, you know, every time we come together. I think it would be great to actually get couples to pray and declare, not only for the law in this land, but also to bless every family, every marriage, every time. Don't you think it's a great idea? Just get a couple to come out and declare the blessing of God upon the marriage and the law of this land remain righteous. Amen. I want to share with you from the Word of God. We've been basically covering much of all of this year on the work of the cross. And it's a lot, I guess. I mean, we covered a lot of ground, more. But I want to sort of move from here. You know, there's so much blessing God has worked through in the cross that we can receive freely. There's an exchange that took place on the cross. So that instead of curse, instead of death, instead of rejection and all this, we can receive life. And then there is a cross that must be worked into us so that we can be delivered from this world, delivered from this present evil age, delivered from self, delivered from all kinds of things that are working from within as well as without. There is more. Having now received, I guess, and by faith, these things God has done for us. But how do we now move into possessing these things? That's what I want to share with you. Maybe a few messages. We want to possess the blessing of God. Amen. God has called us to life. And we want to receive the promise of God by faith. We want to work these things out. Amen. So, we are saying, we are saved. Are you saved?
Yes.
Your sins forgiven?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Okay. So we are saved. Word salvation. What does the word salvation mean? It means we are saved from sins, right? Primarily, but is it there? Or is there more? That's what I want to share with you. Salvation is actually a very big word. Normally, we say salvation means I prayed the sinner's prayer 20 years ago and you know, I go to church, I tithe, and I fellowship with believers, I read Bible time to time, every day. And basically, I am walking in fellowship. So I'm saved. That's how we understand. Are you saved? You're either saved or you're not saved. Have you prayed the sinner's prayer or you haven't yet, then you need to be saved. Once you pray the sinner's prayer and you're serious, then you are saved. No more. That's our mentality. But is that biblical? Is that what the Bible says? The word salvation is a very big word. Greek word is sozo, you don't have to know. But I just want to share with you something about what salvation covers. I'm going to just give an example from a Bible in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8, Jesus ministers to three different people. First one is that he meets this demoniac. Remember when Jesus came to the region of Galilee, there was a demon-possessed man came out to meet Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He said, oh, you know, why did you come so early? And Jesus set him free. Jesus set him free. Demon-possessed man. That man who was demon-possessed, he was, you know, in pain. That's the man. As Jesus came, he spoke the word and Demon left him and he was in his right mind. Madness left him. Mental, you know, today we probably call it schizophrenia of extreme kind. But on this particular case, it was demon inside. Demon always frustrates. Demon always creates so much anxiety. That's the initial thing. When the demon is inside, it creates so much fear and anxiety. And he was delivered from the demon. And he says, he had been, demon possessed man was healed. That's the word we get. Demon possessed man was healed. But the Greek word is sozo, means saved, actually means salvation. So salvation includes what? Being free from demons. We are dealing with spirits without body. We are fighting with it all the time. And being saved means you're free from demonic oppression in your life. Amen? Are there people who prayed sinner's prayer 20 years ago who are still being oppressed with the presence of demons? Or parts of their personality demonized? Some of their, the faculties are brought to chain, so that they don't have control over what they do anymore in certain areas of their life. Because they get demonized. Let the demon in, they take strong control, and be it alcoholism or whatever. So salvation is not just you say pray sinner's prayer, but also being set free from every oppression of the devil. Next, Jesus ministered to this woman. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? And she spent all her money and she couldn't get healed. And she comes and just comes behind and touches the hem of his garment, Jesus' garment. Power flows out. Jesus says, I perceive a power went out from me. Who is that person? She said, I'm so sorry I touched you, even though I'm unclean. As soon as she touched Jesus by faith, she was healed. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Again, that's your faith has saved you. So salvation includes wellness, healing. It's translated as physical healing, but it's part of salvation. The third one is, after that, Jesus ministered to a girl who was dead. And Jesus is saying, don't worry, don't worry, she's just sleeping, don't worry. And people are just laughing at Jesus. Jesus says, she will be made well. He says, she will be saved. And Jesus raises her from the dead. That's also resurrection is used as, made well then is healing. Salvation. So salvation includes all these things. It begins with our sins forgiven. But it's much more than one-time prayer and our sins forgiven. It means entirety of our life. Actually, salvation. What is salvation? I believe it includes total work of God for humanity through the cross of Jesus Christ. It includes everything of our life. Every part of our life. Our spiritual life, our mental life, our financial life. Every part of our life comes under the original plan of God. Through the cross, God has worked his exchange for us so that instead of depression, we get peace. We covered all these things. We get forgiven. We get divine health, Christ's righteousness, life instead of death, glory, acceptance, abundance, blessing, and the new nature, and much more. There's so much blessing of God, right? It also includes deliverances from ourselves, deliverance from the world. It's a total package of what God has for us. So when you are saying you're saved, yes, you began in salvation, and we are ever moving towards deeper salvation. Amen. Have you taken all of, appropriated all of God's salvation? Not yet. We are being saved, right? We're going deeper into God's salvation through faith. It begins with one-time decision and faith in Jesus, and it gets working, and we get worked out over the course of our life. Paul says this at the end of his life: "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom." This is what he wrote in the prison before execution. He said, "Whatever, there's so much evil. Paul came across so much persecution. He could have died many, many times. In fact, he probably died, stoned to death, and then came back like almost. It's amazing. I mean, just thinking about Paul physically stoned to death, it's horrible. And people left him thinking he was dead. And then he rises. It's probably the time when God took him to the third heaven, brings him back to life. And what does he do? He goes back to the city to preach. I mean, the boldness of this man, incredible. This is someone who is moving deeper and deeper into salvation. He's saying that God will preserve me until I actually finish all my work and move into eternity in your presence. God will save me, preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. So, from the moment we believe until the moment you pass out of time into eternity, we are moving in greater dimension of salvation. Amen. 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 And this is very important, because Hebrew warns us, warns actually believers. His writer of Hebrews is warning believers. Believers don't neglect so great a salvation. He says, how will you escape if you neglect such great salvation God has built for you? Today, millions of Christians around the world, they haven't rejected the gospel. The world has yet to receive, believe the gospel. Many Christians pray the sinner's prayer, did not reject the gospel, did not reject salvation, received initial installment of salvation and are neglecting great salvation. That includes every part of our life. My question is, are Christians in danger of neglecting great salvation and just happy with just a little ticket to heaven when I die? And are neglecting the greater plan of God for our lives. God has a great plan for us. Amen?
Amen.
God wants us to grow in salvation, grow deeper in salvation. God wants His power and His life to work out from within to impact every area of our lives. Area of my health, area of my intellect, area of my emotion, area of my relationship, area physical areas, our family areas, in marriage, children, everything. And that influence of Christ's life in us to begin to flow out, that's called the mystery of godliness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? But it takes faith to grow in it. Just because we pray one prayer and remain stayed, this is a very dangerous case. Hebrews is warning us, Christians, do not neglect so great a salvation. Don't think salvation is just a tiny little one prayer and you're fine. There's much work to be done, much ground to be gained, much spiritual inheritance to be received by faith. And it comes with conflict. It comes with war. That's why Paul says in Philippians 2:20, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because you haven't worked it all out. When you pray, when you believe, God worked in supernaturally the gospel. God worked in salvation in our spirit. God has forgiven our sins. He's removed all the barriers. He made you. He's given us access to His heart, access into His presence. And all the vast resources of heaven have been made available to us through faith in Christ. But often we stop there. Our progress is slow, and say, don't neglect. There's much area, there's much possession to be had. Amen? Did you receive all the blessing yet? No. There is a possession, spiritual possession we've got to receive, inheritance in Christ, amen, that we've got to receive. Once we get born again, we get kind of a blank check. This is your life. It's to your faith. I want you to really expand your territory, receive all the spiritual blessings from heaven. It's funny, I'll get into that, this parable. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. We are in the same situation as Joshua. Okay, let's read together. If you can all see. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Amen. Amen. There is a parallel, right? Okay. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Do you believe this? As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong, you know, good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That's part of salvation. Amen. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Let's say, do not be afraid. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. I pray that we will get this into our spirit, because this has exact parallel to us. In Israel, those days, they were led under Joshua. Jesus is saying name in Hebrew as Joshua. Jesus is leading us into the promised land. They were going into promised land. Jesus is leading us to a land of promises. Bible is full of promises of God. They were going there to possess the land, but they had to fight for it. Jesus is leading us to the land of promises, and He's giving us these are the width and the breadth and the depth of the promises of God to you. And we've got to fight to inherit, receive these inheritances. It's interesting. See, we are no longer law. Moses represented law. We are no longer under Moses. We are under Jesus' leadership, who is full of grace. Isn't that much better? Amen. If you broke the law under Moses, you get stoned to death. With Jesus, we can always come back. Jesus, wash me. And start from the clean slate every time. Every single time we repent. Jesus is full of grace and truth. And Very interesting the way he describes the territory. See, the four directions of the territory, see, from the wilderness is where they come from, down south. All the way to River Euphrates, to the east and the north. So far, I didn't have the map. Huge area. Land of the Hittites, Lebanon, is the north. All of the Syria, Lebanon border, to the Great Sea. What is it? It's as far as the land end, it's the Mediterranean Sea. Even as far as the setting of the sun. Setting of the sun. Okay. All this vast territory, much bigger than actually the land they inherited. Much bigger, huge area. Okay. All of it. Do you want it? Do you want it? He's saying, you can have it. You can have it. Takes faith. Saying the presence of God is with you. Because what makes us undefeatable is the presence of God, isn't it? Do you believe no demon, no work of the devil, no plans of the enemy, no human being who hates you for no reason, enemies, human and demons, can stand before you all the days of your life? Do you believe that greater is the power, he that is in you, than he that is in the world? Amen. Actually, Hebrews actually quotes this and says, the Lord said he will never leave you nor forsake you, so why should you be afraid? What can man do to you? Amen. Hebrews 13. Takes this verse and says, Christians, this is your promise. Jesus will never leave you. Man, no forsake you. He's always by your right hand. So why should you be afraid? But we are still afraid. Very often. So these are the promises that we must inherit by faith, work out, kick out fears, and receive courage. You know how many times he says, be very strong and courageous in the passages? Yeah, three times. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. In the morning, you get up, look at the mirror, wash your face, be strong. Tell yourself, be strong, because the Lord is with you. Is there a problem that pains you? Is there some issues, fear? What if this goes wrong, that goes wrong, what if this is that? Be strong. Is the problem bigger than Jesus? Is Jesus with you? Do you see him? Can you picture him with you? Can you picture him bigger than the problem? Can you believe that Jesus will overcome all these things? Okay. Imagine now, that's very interesting how the Lord says. The Lord said in verse 2, I am giving you this land. The Lord says, I'm giving you this land. And in verse 3, he says, I have given you this land. As much as you, your soul will go, soul of your foot, okay, not the soul inside. As much as you physically go, I've already given it to you. God says in verse 2, I'm giving it to you. As far as you physically go, I've already given it to you. So which is it? Is he giving it us to us, or is he giving it to us? He's given us. He's given us. So, Israel is now about to cross the Jordan. On the east side of the Jordan, they can look over the land, and God says, you know what? I've already given it to you. It's yours. That's wonderful. Is that theirs? Yes, legally it's theirs. But if they just fold their arms and say, okay, I have it all, and don't actually go and fight for it, do they experience it? No. There's a difference between experiential and legal, right? Bible says Jesus, by one perfect sacrifice, has made us perfect in Christ. That's the promise of God. God's done it. God's given it. All the blessings. Ephesians talks about how God has blessed you with every heavenly blessing. Every blessing. You can imagine in heaven, God has already given it. But if we just fold our arms, say, okay, I have it, do we experience much? Not much. That's exactly the same thing. God's given them by the covenant, so it's theirs. But they have to go and take it. Now, when they went to take it, all the Hittites, all the Jebusites, and all these ites, just please come and take it. It's yours. God's given it to you. Please take it. No. They were defending their land. They, you know, Canaanites. It was their land. You have to fight. So it is with us. When you pray sinner's prayer, when you come to the Lord does some miracles, right? When they came into the promised land, what did God do? God did two amazing miracles. God parted the Red Sea, and after that, Jordan River. They crossed the Jordan River, and then somebody was mentioning Jericho. What happened? God flattened the Jericho and delivered them. Supernaturally, God broke through the huge city. God did the heavy lifting. Right? Without that, they could have never made it into the promised land. God did the heavy lifting. After they went into the heavy lifting, promised land, they had to fight for every inch of the land. Tell me whether that's your experience. You come to the Lord, God does heavy lifting. He does some powerful things. After that, He's saying, I'm going to help you. And you need to fight. And begin to take His land. Amen. When I came to Christ, I testified over and over again. But you know, when I came, He just did a lot of cleaning work. I had a very bad temper. I couldn't swear anymore. Things changed. But after that initial miracle that God gave me, I still had to fight. There are still vices, fears, all kinds of things in my heart. I had to work it out. And it takes fight. Ephesians, he says, and God knows how much you can take, right? So the war battle is actually designed by God. You don't have to fear. Okay. Somebody said, you know, the Ephesians 6 says, we will not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and you know, all these descending order of spiritual evil beings that are around us. We fight spiritual war. We don't fight physical war, we fight spiritual war. But sometimes, you know, we can read it. We put a full stop in the wrong place. It says, we wrestle not. And we put a full stop there. We do not wrestle. Full stop. If you don't wrestle, you get run over. Is that true? We have to stand strong. When you're ready to fight, you take some land. Amen? We need to be courageous, Christian. You want to be used by God, yeah? Lord, do your work. Lord, take my life. Reveal your glory. As soon as we pray, it means that there will be a wrestling in a war, inside and outside. Now, what happened to Israel? Israel went in there. They had victory, but they had incomplete victory. They fought, took some land, won some battles, but they made compromises along the way in some areas, thinking they could cohabit with the enemies in the same land within the border of Israel. And that became a snare. You know where there's a now a lot of problem is? Gaza Strip, Golan Heights, and the same area, exactly the same area. The eastern part of Jerusalem, Jebusites, they didn't drive them out. They made treaty thinking you could live side by side by allowing the world and coexist. And that became a snare. Even today, same applies to us. When we make peace treaty with the world, with the enemies of with females. You can have a little bit of my life, I just tolerate you. That becomes trouble and snare. We have to fight. What happened? Israel didn't fully conquer. And why didn't Israel fully conquer? Why did Israel fail? Because of? People talk about it very much. Why did they conquer? Because of disobedience and faith, unbelief. Right? Unbelief. So we need to, in order to conquer our own land, we need the same thing, obey God and believe what God said we can do. Believe the great person of Jesus Christ in us, even though you can't see him. More powerful, he will do these things. He will drive out our enemies. Amen. You know, Israel lost her land for nearly how many years? 19th centuries. From 1st century, they just came back. For about 1900 years, they were kicked out of their inheritance. Even though all along, the land of Israel was theirs, but they didn't possess it for 1900 years. Because of unbelief. But they are now coming back. Praise God. Physically now they are back and they are fighting now. What about the church? Church, we had a glorious start, first century apostolic church, Book of Acts. And it's about what, nearly 1900 years. We're coming back. It's been 1900 years. And the Book of Acts is quite different than what we see in the church history. So we need what? We need obedience and faith. Obedience and faith. Do you have faith? Do you have powerful faith? Yes, amen. We need faith. We really do. Can you please God without faith? Can you try to please God? Without faith is very difficult to please God. Impossible. Don't even try. We need faith to please God. We need to believe Him that He will do great things. He is great. And this is, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now that's a very interesting statement. How many believe that God is? God exists. Do you believe God rewards you when you seek Him? When you diligently seek Him? Amen? Have you been through the times when you sought God and somehow God didn't answer your prayer? Have you been discouraged? You stop seeking God because prayer doesn't matter. God doesn't answer. Now this is a very real thing. I've been through, you know, I saw God and the answer didn't come the way I expected. Does that mean that thing doesn't work? God is less real? What is faith? Faith is, will you still believe? Even though what you wanted didn't come to pass, God still never fails to reward and bless those who diligently seek Him. That's the nature of God. That's why we, the prayers, seek God. Because it may not come the way we want, in the time we want, but God never fails to reward and bless those who seek Him. Those who come to Him. That's God's very nature. And when you pressed for something, didn't happen the way you wanted, way I wanted, in the time frame I wanted, still come and still believe and still pray. What is it? That's my faith in God's goodness. I believe God is good. I pray, you know, and I still seek. I prayed again. feel sick, I give up.
Or
I seek him. Again, knowing that every act of seeking God is by faith, and God responds to faith. It's very simple formula of seeking God. Amen? Now, why? How do we get this faith? Because I get discouraged at times when things didn't happen the way I wanted, in the time frame I wanted, I get discouraged. The true faith doesn't get discouraged. How do we get faith? Can we get faith if we don't have faith? How do we get faith? Right. How do you, where do you get faith from? Word of God and the hearing. We say, if we don't have faith, we can get faith and we can overcome. If I have faith, it'll work. But I don't have faith. I struggle with faith. Then we can get faith. How do we get it? It comes from the word, but it's not direct, just the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. How does faith come? Through hearing the word. So there is another step. Bible is like a lots of black marks on the red, I mean the white paper. Words of Jesus are on red. If I just hear it, just read it, do I get faith? How do we get faith? We've got to get hearing. As we get into the word, what develops is we develop hearing. And out of hearing, we get faith. So if we don't have hearing, we don't get much faith. So when you read Bible, do you hear? Do you have an attitude of hearing? When you spend time in the Word, we develop hearing ability. Out of hearing ability, we hear God speak. And when you hear God speak, you have faith. You really do have faith. I've got tons of testimonies I can share with you, right? Very first time I heard from God when I was a young boy, I just asked a question in a dark. Turned everything off and the Lord just whispered. After that, the Lord whispered, I didn't have to do anything. I just didn't fight for it, I just left it, I just believed it, and it all happened in 3 months without me pushing or helping God. Don't have to help God. When you hear God, He does it. But we need to have hearing. But how does do you get hearing? Hearing comes from the Word. So how do we develop this hearing ear? Hearing attitude. We've got to allow enough time for God to speak. If you actually read the Bible, right? Every week. And I was kind of talking to God like, God, I got 20 minutes. You got to speak in 20 minutes. You just race through the chapter. You only get what you can in that 20 minutes. When you say, Lord, I need to hear from you. Don't necessarily put time limit. We actually need to put enough time with the word. Amen? And expect God to speak. But I have to move quite quickly. We need to have an attitude of meekness. Meekness to the word. We don't take things out and just beat bits that I like and the bits that I don't like, and strike it out, then we're not going to get hearing. Take every word of God seriously, as the word of God, and let God speak. I'm a student, I will obey what God says. I will believe what God says. I will obey what God says. God will speak. And then we need to submit to the authority of God's word. Anyway, I'm going to have to move a little bit quicker. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's word. theory, some things leap off, right? And when you hear that like that, hey, problem's over. We can actually have peace that you couldn't have peace before. And suddenly God speaks, you're at rest. So what is the difference? Have you heard about the difference between Logos and the Rhema? Because this is very important. I want to cover this. I'm going to maybe take another 10 minutes, 15 minutes. What's Logos? Logos is the written word of God. This is an entire counsel of God. Eternal word of God that never changes. It's an entire counsel of God that He put in heaven. And it will never change. What's the Rhema? It's a revelation. When the pages leap off, the words come out of it and hit you. That's Rhema. So Rhema is, you know, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every Rhema that proceeds, coming out of the mouth of God." That's the Rhema word. Logos is entirety of your word is the truth. Every word of God is the truth. It's the, so out of the Logos, God speaks. God gives you a little piece and then gives to you. To me. Today. That's Rhema. Now, what is the difference? Logos is general and it is unchanging, it is complete, it is universal in application. I'm getting to a point here, it's very important. What is Rhema? It's specific and it's time sensitive. When God says something, there is a time limit. It's time sensitive. If God speaks to me today and God says, "You speak out the word against whatever. And if I don't do it, you can't come back, you know, 2 months later and say the power is not there." Time sensitive. And somebody was praying and there was a huge storm coming and God said, "Rebuke the storm." And he went out and rebuked the storm. Storm turned it away, and went the other side. There's a time limit on it. You can't do it after storms, you know, come. Too late. It's incomplete, and it's very personal. It's what God says to you today. How do we get it? How do you get Rhema? By revelation. Yeah, waiting on God. By illumination of the Holy Spirit. As you allow God in that time, God speaks out of the written word. You wait on the Lord, and what is normally emphasized is meditation or prayer. And how it comes is like it's a thought, isn't it? It's a little thought, it's a little cluster of thought coming into your mind. You think, oh, you've been wondering about something, you've been, you know, asking God to deliver you, and then suddenly faith comes. And it's just a little thought, a little word, cluster of thoughts that you gotta release normally by faith, by speaking out, and things get done. What about, how do you get Logos? Diligence, by reading the entire scriptures, otherwise you don't get it. Right? Yep. And it's a library of 66 books. It's not just the one book, it's a 66 books, entire scripture. How many read Bible right through once? I know what it is. It's quite a challenge nowadays. We are very busy to get Christians to actually read the entire Bible once in their lifetime. It's a big work, and we get stuck somewhere and get to stop. It takes diligence. Without diligence, we cannot get there. So what is emphasis? Normally, emphasis is Rhema, we actually go for depth. Oh, you get just one verse, and you take one sentence, oh, speak, and you pray, and think over, or you take a little passage, and so on. And you just wait on it, you concentrate on death and waiting on God to sort of stir the water. It's somehow, somewhere, you know, it leaps and hits you. What about novels? You thinking about the breadth and the width, and it takes a lot of commitment, time and diligence to actually cover it, right? What does it produce? When you get rhema, it produces faith. And sometimes it produces unusual insight for your personal situation. Saying, you were looking at this direction to answer. Suddenly you get illumination. Oh, actually the answer is here. You get insight, revelation, solution. Or you get faith to blast through all the problems. Things will get changed and so on. And you get peace. Right? That's what you get. Usually, when you get rhema, it's directive. True? Direction. Lord, should I go or should I not go? I'm sure, you know, Angela, before you go to the Philippines, Lord, should I go or should I stay? Where do I go? You wait on God, for God to speak, and then you have faith. That happens, right? It's usually directive. Peter said, Lord, speak, then I will come out and walk on the water. If he just, no, I want to walk on the water, he jumped out of the boat, what happened? Jesus said, come. What's that? Rhema, come. So when Peter jumped out of the boat, he was walking on the word. The word Jesus gave, come, that word was floating him against the gravity. Because that's a rhema word that Jesus spoke to Peter. Now, Jesus said to Peter, come. If Andrew and John also jumped down the water. So you can't use somebody else's rhema word and echo it. True? True. You gotta get your own rhema word. Echo it and releases. What does it release? It releases power. Now, what does a logos produce? You read through, it produces understanding. You get understanding. You get a framework of a big picture. And in a common term, we call theology. You get good theology. You get good wisdom. Your understanding broadens of who God is, how God works. It's like, it's normally not directive, it's instructive. You can't direct as well, but it's usually instructive, right? This is what God says, you obey. So it's like a safety guardrail. When you walk with, you know, rhema word and you do all these, take risks and so on, you don't have enough guardrail understanding of who God is, how God works, what happened. Sometimes people fall off the rail, make some strange decisions because, you know, one day, you know, the third day I started waiting on God for rhema word. God said, you know, drop everything, give up your job, and go for 2 months holiday, I'll be with you. They hear strange words, and they go and come back broke and say, well, what happened? It's because we lack wisdom, good theology, good rail to keep you on the right path. The higher you go, you need safeguard. You need both, right? Now, it's true at this level, rhema can be instructive, logos can be also directive. God says, do not be drunk with wine, do not lie, and you read it. You're not quite sure whether it hits you like a rhema or logos, but it doesn't matter, does it? Because it's a written word. You obey the instruction by faith. It requires, when you get instruction, obedience. And over here, usually it's more dynamic, faith. But it's obedience and faith are actually the same kind of calling. I'm trying to get to the point. I hope you understand. Where does that lead to when you obey, when you take the entire word of God seriously, you learn it, and you fit your life, you normally get character. Every time you're angry, you read the Bible and says, you know the word says, forgive. Okay, I'm going to bring myself obedience. If you just, where it's here, you get faith that releases power in your life. That's very exciting. When God speaks, now word, you act on it, you have miracle. You have power in your life. But you only want this, then it's a big trouble. If you only have that, that's a bit boring. Right? What do we need? We need hope. Now, which is more important? Yes. Which one you like more? Rhema. Most people like Rhema because Rhema is exciting. It just does stuff, you know. You want more faith, you know. You want to see God move and do stuff and move mountains, you know. Speak the mountain move and go, whoa! And then Noble says, forgive your brothers 70 times 7. Whoa! Character, power. It's like, now, let me tell you also, you don't know sometimes whether it's Rhema or Noble, right? You don't. You don't always tell a part. It's like, Logos is like when Jesus did a miracle of turning the water into wine. Right? The water turned into wine. You don't quite know exactly at what moment Jesus prayed, you know, it just turned, but it turned. So when you take Bible and read, it's like the water. But suddenly, oh, it tastes really nice. What is it? It's becoming Rhema. You don't sometimes know whether it's a water, it's a wine, but wine tastes nice. So most people like wine. Do you? Most people like Rhema. But if you only get Rhema and not Logos, what happens? It's dangerous. This is a dangerous imbalance. So we need Rhema. In your situation, you want to hear from God, you give God enough time for God to speak to you. So when God speaks, go, you go, take the land. But in order to take the land and not go into the wrong battle, you need Logos. You really do. And what is happening? What is happening? This is this century and last 50 years problem in Christian. Christian dumb, like never before, kind of a, you can almost quote it on quote, charismatic illness, is that we all want Rhema. We know how good it is. I want Rhema. So we want Rhema, but we just want Rhema real quick, without the process of getting your life into focus. Many people go search for Rhema. How does it, like sometimes people who are gifted prophets go after the prophets, give me a word. I hear very gifted prophets, they go to conference. They cannot go out of their hotel room to eat lunch without getting bumped in by people asking them, do you have a word from God? Do you have a word for me? I want word from God, instant word from God. Tell me my birthday. Tell me my name. What is God saying? Should I buy this business? Should I, you know, move my job? Should I buy this house? I just want the Rhema. That's all I want. I don't want Logos. I don't want God to tell me what to do, what not to do. I just want Rhema. Whether this business will succeed or that will do well or not, I want the Rhema. Now, prophets are a little less accessible, so what do? We sometimes can go to articles of short magazine, Word for Today, for you, from God, Rhema for you today. And there's a short article everywhere, and you go and take all those, and of rhema. I'm full of rhema. But it doesn't produce the same result. Because Jesus has to turn the water into wine. Of course, if you don't, if your jar is empty, it's buried in water, there's nothing to turn the water into wine. Right? And we get wisdom, framework, insight from the whole counsel of God. So we need that. We also need bread. Sometimes some people do, do you know Bible lottery? Do lottery with Bible? I need word from God, but I don't have time to actually read from Matthew chapter 1 to Matthew chapter 28. So I don't have time to give God or read through the Bible. So I'm gonna allow the Holy Spirit to guide my finger. That's the word for today. Only have to be two verses I got right now. And I will do that. You know what happened? This is, I don't know whether it's a real story, but I've heard the story is that this guy did this, came up with Matthew 27 verse 5. So Judah hanged himself. This can't be right. It's just, I don't see the application here. There's no rhema. It must be for someone else. And then he said, okay, Holy Spirit, you can do it. One more time. Flip the page and go. The second verse was, go and do likewise. Number three, the Trinity. Okay, Father failed, or you know, something. I give you the last chance, the three, the Trinity, the perfect number. Boom! And then verse John 13, 27. What you are about to do, do quickly. It's really funny. This is kind of a sometimes sickness. We actually want to get rhema. But we want to get quickly. We're not spending, giving God enough time. And then we want to have it. Can you read this together? If we are faithful in receiving Lord, God will give us rhema as we need. Jesus turned water into wine. We want that enough water in the pot. Okay. Do you believe that? That's why it's important to be diligent. Faith and diligence. How do we seek God? We pray, and much of our seeking is also spending time. Allow God to speak to me by reading the word. If you get the whole word, whole Bible, you hear from God. You really do. I mean, you know, amazing how many times God will correct you. Have you been corrected by God? Rhema correction? Logos, whatever it is, the correction is a beautiful thing. Because when you get corrected, it means you are walking in the light. If you haven't been corrected by God for the last 15 years, I wonder if you're hearing from God. Really do. Is God loving me? Correct us. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man and woman. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise. It says all scripture, 66 books are all inspired by God, which means God's breath, God's exhale. But it says, it's you want to be trained in God, you want to be complete and lacking nothing. You got a full armor, you need to be, go through the process. You start from doctrine and teaching. It comes in a stage. After doctrine and teaching comes reproof, that's rebuke. And correction, repentance. Instruction is actually kind of confusing. Literally, it's training. You're going to be trained. So just because you get reading and good understanding, good theology, unless you get correction out of it, and the correction works in your life, You're not being trained in righteousness to be complete. So reproof is the way of life. Okay? So I think because of the time, I'm kind of rushing it, but we arrive at instruction, training in righteousness by allowing God to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and then you arrive at being instructed in the Lord in truth, or being trained in truth. What you do here on Sunday and you know, Bible studies, or Wednesdays, is I'm trying to provide you good instruction or teaching. And some review, some, not too much, you get discouraged, must be the right amount and so on. Only I can do correctly when the Word of God comes to me. And then we arrive there. So when you have that, you get character, you get power. And sometimes when we get over power, not enough character, it collapses, both in this collapses. So I want to ask you, do you have reading plan for the whole Word of God? Do you read? You know, book by book, chapter by chapter? And not just read, but allowing God to speak. Because I know a lot, we just, you know, we just get this light passages that are like only and thinking it's alright. It's actually not about it. You have to read the whole length. And I've actually got some printed at the back, I think 20 pages, something like that, about Bible reading, then you can't read it. But I really encourage you to plan to read the whole world. At least when you meet Jesus, you would have want to say, Lord Jesus, I actually loved your word, I read the whole thing. At least once before I die. Or twice or three times. And you go systematic, everything. Amen? Yeah, challenge you, a good challenge? Okay? Alright. I'm gonna just pray with you. Why don't we stand and I pray with you? Just a sing quick thy word is a lamp unto my feet, maybe that chorus. Let's pray that God will give us great wisdom, God will give us rhema word, God will give us hunger for the word, logos, we'll eat the logos, we will take the land. Amen. Take the land, we need both logos and rhema. We need both. Good balance. Thank you. your whole word, Lord. Complete word, my God, that we have access to your complete word, Lord, that we may receive and hear from you, have living relationship with you, and receive faith, direction, and instruction. Lord, that we may overcome every obstacle, Lord God, that we may meditate in it day and night. Lord, that we may be careful to observe and to do all that is written in it. Lord, I pray, Lord, give us hunger for your word. Hunger, Lord, to read your word. Hunger, Lord, to understand your word. Hunger to wait on your word. For you to speak, Lord. Because when you speak, Lord God, it's just a power of God. The power of heaven is released in our lives. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. I pray that you stir our faith to go and take the land. Take boldly areas that have been compromised that we haven't taken yet. Father, we pray that you give us faith of Caleb, Lord God. Stir ourselves and say, Lord, I want this mountain. Lord, I want this mountain. I am vigorous. I'm strong in you as I had been years ago. Lord, I want to take this mountain for you. Give us, Lord, this mountain in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will strengthen every heart and give us wisdom, Lord. Clothe us, O God, with wisdom from high and fresh hunger for your living word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. Amen. Check out, you know, the reading plan at the back. God bless you. Oh, just one more thing. There is a